Praise the Lord, everyone. It's good to see all of you here tonight. We are going to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer once again, thanking thee for this opportunity to come before thee, thanking thee for this opportunity to worship thee. And I pray, O God, that thou would anoint this entire service here today. I pray that thy presence would be here. I pray that we would all feel thy spirit. I pray that we'd all be filled with the Holy Ghost. Preside over everything we do here this night, we pray. We ask, O God, for thy perfect will to be done. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are going to open our chorus books to start with to number 157. Open our eyes, Lord, number 157. Open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. God. Glory to God. We are going to turn now to number 76 and sing Reach Out and Touch the Lord, number 76.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. mind, he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find he's not too busy.
Praise God. Well, we are we're going to open our hymnals now. Praise God. And we're going to turn to, let me see if I can do this from memory. I think I know where it is. Praise God. We're going to turn to number 30 in our hymnals, Standing on the Promises. Number 30. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of thought and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing in the blood.
blood for me, standing in the liberty where Christ makes free, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises, I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we are going to turn now to number 178 in the hymnal and sing Where He Leads, I'll Follow. Number 178. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where He leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Sweet is the tender love Jesus hath shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is He. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where He leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where He leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior, and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Oh, where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Well, we're going to turn now to number 140 and sing By My Spirit, number 140. Is there a mountain in your way? Do doubts and fears abound? Press on, oh, hear the Spirit say, this mountain shall come down, not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Is there a river in your path, a river deep and wide? Step in, the waters will roll back. You'll reach the other side, not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Is there a fiery furnace trial, far more than you can bear? Behold, the blessed Son of God is walking with you there, not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, this mountain shall be removed, by my Spirit, saith the Lord.
than trust alone the mighty God. He speaks, the winds obey. Take courage then, O fainting heart, for you will make a way, not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might and not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. You see, that's how we overcome. Not by might, not by power, not by our own strength, but by God's Spirit. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise God. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy promises, thanking thee for thy Spirit by which we can overcome all things. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead this church, guide this church, for we know that we would be helpless and lost without thee. But we ask for thy direction. We ask for thy hand to be upon this ministry. Give us thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy purpose, for thy glory, for the cause of thy holy name. And I pray, O God, that thou would bless the givers here this night and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, tonight for the song service, I didn't really pick anything out. I was just taking it as they came, and as we were singing songs, another would pop into my head. And as we were singing that last one, another song popped into my head that we're going to go to right now. Number 210 in the hymnal, Victory Ahead. Number 210. When the host of Israel, led by God, round the walls of Jericho softly trod, trusting in the Lord, they felt the conqueror's tread. By faith they saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead, through the blood of Jesus. Us victory ahead, trusting in the Lord. I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. David with a shepherd's sling and five stones met the giant on the field all alone. Trusting in the Lord, he knew what God had said. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Daniel prayed unto the Lord thrice each day, then unto the lion's den led the way. Trusting in the Lord, he did not fear or dread. By faith he saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Often with a carnal mind I was tried, asking for deliverance, oft I cried. Trusting in the Lord, I reckoned I was dead. By faith I saw the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. When like those who've gone before to that land, by death's river cold and dark I shall stand. Trusting in the Lord, I will not fear or dread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead. Victory ahead, victory ahead. Through the blood of Jesus, victory ahead. Trusting in the Lord, I hear the conqueror's tread. By faith I see the victory ahead.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, we do have a prayer request here from Brian and Vicki Gleason. They're asking prayer for their daughter Audrey, that God will hear her prayer as she is crying out for help and forgiveness. So we're going to pray for Audrey right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of Audrey, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven, touch her. We pray, O God, that she would feel thy spirit. We pray, O God, that she would reach out to thee and put her faith and her trust in thee completely. For we know that salvation and forgiveness comes only from thee. So we pray, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven and touch her. We pray, O God, that she would be drawn unto thee. We pray, O God, that thou would do a work in her life. We pray, O God, that she would be changed and shaped in thee. We pray, O God, that thou would make her what she ought to be. Touch Audrey, we pray right now. Let her feel thy presence. We ask, O God, that thy spirit would be made known unto her. We pray, O God, that she would put her complete faith and trust in thee. For we know, O God, that truly only thou art the Savior. We ask this and pray this on behalf of Audrey here this night. In Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we are now going to turn this over to Shirley and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, our God is good. And, you know, I just couldn't help but think as we were singing that last song, you know, those people that we're singing about with the victory, they were human just like we are. You know, I mean, you know, they had problems, they had needs, you know, and they had a, you know, they had things that came in front of them that looked like huge giants. In fact, it was a literal giant for David, you know, but praise the Lord, God put faith in their hearts. There's no other explanation for it, you know. All at once they knew that they could go forward and do the things that seemed impossible to man, you know, not always even knowing the outcome, of course, but just trusting in the Lord and plunging ahead and doing it, you know. I mean, so many times, you know, our fears get ahead of us and in front of us and so big that we can't seem to climb over them, you know, and they become barriers, you know, and they stop us from going out and acting on faith and, you know, doing the Lord's work. But praise the Lord, just learning how to put our faith, our trust, and hope in the Lord and plunging ahead, you know, going forward, just believe in Him. You know, we sang that song about standing on His promises, and, you know, we know that, you know, they are yea and amen, and we can stand on them. That, you know, everything in this world is just so subject to change. You know, you almost... Oh, man, at times you can hardly bear it, you know. One person will say this and somebody will say the complete opposite, and, you know, you've got all these conflicts all over the place, and, you know, oh, wow, where do you turn as far as those kind of things go? But thank God we've got the Lord Jesus, and He isn't going to be like that, you know. He's not going to be wishy-washy and say one thing one minute and change His mind 10 minutes later. You know, we can put our hope, our trust in such an anchor as that, such a Savior as that, a rock that doesn't move, you know. Oh, praise the Lord, that means what He says. And oh, thank the Lord. He is so good to us. Praise the Lord. Oh, we're thankful at this point. Oh, I know we're completely realizing, well, we're getting there to realize our great need for the Lord. These are quite the times, and you know, Beaver Dam has been hit a little bit hard. We've got this thing going on that doesn't really add up. I know Jane was telling me today about some of the details about the man who supposedly did the bombing there, or was preparing the bombs, rather, there in his apartment. And boy, his profile doesn't sound like, you know, somebody that would do that at all. And, you know, it leaves a lot of questions, you know, and you just wonder, you know, what in all, you know, the things behind the scene, or, you know, God only knows. There's so much. We hear a lot of times just outright lies, a lot of propaganda, and, you know, the whims of those that are trying to bring about their wills and desires upon the people. But praise the Lord, we've got a God that we can put our trust in, and even such times as this, praise the Lord, yes, praise the Lord. I know they're going to try to do a controlled fire tomorrow if the winds are right and all, so that this structure that they feel is no longer at all safe will be burned, and you know, there are concerns that it could spread, so they're doing everything they can, and they've had a lot of output from other people, other sources, and you know, trying to be very cautious in this, from what I understand. But you know, we've been praying and asking the Lord to help us in this matter. Oh my, yes, we certainly do need the Lord. Oh, in every direction, you know, we don't know what could have happened, you know, why, you know, bombs are being prepared in this apartment. You know, we don't know what, you know, that story is. But God does. Praise the Lord. And He foresees it. You know, He knows the things that, you know, could happen, but He knows how to prevent them. Oh, and what a wonderful God we serve. Amen. We can put our hands in Him. You know, we can put our hope in Him. You know, it just, you know, we can trust in Him. It just, you know, it's wow. Thank God He's the anchor of our soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank You again that we can gather here tonight. Oh God, we thank you that we can stand on thy promises and know that they are sure, Lord. And oh God, know that, oh Lord, your word is forever settled in heaven, Lord. It's not wishy-washy. But oh God, you have given us so much, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that we could assemble here tonight. Oh God, that we could, oh God, draw nigh to thee. And oh Lord, that we can worship you, Lord. Oh God, and that we can hear your word. I pray that you'd be here, oh Lord. I pray that you'd go before us. I pray that you would meet the needs of your people, Lord. Oh God, that you would help them, Lord. And oh God, that, oh Lord, this message would come forth, oh Lord, to do the work that you've foreordained it to do, Lord. Oh God, by your help, oh Lord, by your mercy. Oh God, we thank you, Lord. Oh God, for we need you to open up our eyes so that we can see and our ears so we can hear. Oh God, to give us that discernment that only you can give, Lord. Oh God, so that we can rightly discern the times. Oh God, that we can prepare our hearts and go forward. I pray that you would work in a mighty way, oh Lord Jesus. I pray that you'd work in hearts tonight, Lord. I pray that you would change circumstances, Lord. I pray that you would meet the needs of your people. Oh God, in Jesus' name, that you would bind the powers of the enemy. And oh God, that they may have no opportunities in the name of Jesus. Oh God, by the power of the blood, we put this into thy hands. We ask, oh Lord, that you would move, oh God, that you would change the things that are wrong, oh God, redirect lives, oh God, give us that hope in you, Lord Jesus, by the power of the blood, we ask, oh God, we put this into thy hands, oh God, I know that I could do nothing without you. I thank you, Lord, that you are here tonight, oh God, to work in our hearts and to help us, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This little study tonight's going to come out of a Skype question, and I thought it was a very good one, and I just pray that the Lord will use it here. We're going to call it, Who is My Brother? Who is My Brother? Praise the Lord. Let's begin by turning to Matthew, the 12th chapter here tonight. Matthew 12, praise the Lord. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. Matthew 12, and we're going to look at verse 46 here to begin. Praise the Lord. Who is my brother? Praise God. It says in verse 46, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, in this little text here, we know that Jesus was not at all putting down his mother and brethren. It wasn't that at all. But he was using this little moment, this incident, to bring out a greater truth at this point. And you know, the fact is, you know, I know he dearly esteemed his own family in that sense, but there was another family that he was going to indicate at this time, and it's a spiritual family. And you know, as he was there, and of course they had told him that his mother and his brothers were standing without there and wanting to speak with him, and he stretched forth his hand toward the disciples that were there with him and said, behold my mother and my brethren. And then the point, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, The same is my brother and sister and mother. Praise the Lord. He was talking about his spiritual family. Praise the Lord. And I'm so glad that he made a way that we could be brought forth into that spiritual kingdom. If we turn also over to the 10th chapter of Matthew, we also see the need, you know, to go beyond one's natural family. Here it tells us in verse 32 in Matthew 10, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." Oh, here he is also bringing forth a point, the necessity to take up one's cross and follow Jesus, the need to put him first above all else, and to love him before all others. And you know, when we pick up that cross, when we follow Jesus, we never know quite what the consequences may be. You know, it could easily be that, you know, we may be breaking ties with loved ones, with family members, with neighbors, you know, old schoolmates. You know, it may well be. It may be that things that we once loved, we're going to grow to hate even. Because the Lord is going to work in us something that's deeper. Oh, and you know, something that is necessary. But he is emphasizing this great need here for us as individuals. If we're going to follow Jesus Christ, we've got to be willing to go where he leads and do what he asks us to do. And therefore, that's taking up our cross. That's following Jesus. You know, not knowing exactly where he's going to lead or what he's going to ask us to do specifically, but knowing, you know, trusting him. He's a good shepherd, and he's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He's going to direct us. And, you know, he knows the best outcome. And the things that we need that we could never discern on our own. But that's what he's asking. He's asking that we would love him more than we would love father or mother or son or daughter or anybody else, but rather seeking the kingdom of God first. Knowing, oh yes, that all these other things shall be added unto us if we can just put the Lord first, get our priorities right. But he was emphasizing that point again, that great need, not knowing what we might have to leave behind. And you know, he said, "You're not even worthy of me. If you can't put me, you can't put me first, and you know, above and before other things and other people, then you know, you're not worthy of me. You're not worthy of the things that I have prepared for them that love me and do my will," in other words. And you know, the disciples, in following Jesus, they truly did leave all and follow Jesus. And you know, that point is brought out in the 19th chapter of Matthew, as Jesus was working with a young man who came to him that wanted to know what good things he needed to do to have eternal life. And, you know, Jesus said, "Well, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. There's only one that is good, that is God." But he said, "But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And of course, this young man said, you know, as Jesus, you know, indicated that some of the commandments and brought them out. The young man said that he'd kept all those things since his youth up. But yet, you know, he knew deep inside he lacked something yet. And yes, he did. And Jesus knew exactly what that was. He told him in verse 21, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me." And at that moment, that was very hard news for this young man. It says in verse 22, "But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And, you know, that might have sounded like wow, then, as, you know, the disciples, when they heard that, being exceedingly amazed, it tells us in verse 25, they said, "Well, then, who then can be saved?" But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And I love that thought right there. You know, there are mountains in our path sometimes. You know, but, you know, realizing it isn't by our strength. It's not by our might nor by our power. And, you know, but it's trusting to the Lord and realizing that we serve a God who can do all things and do them well and do them for our good, for our benefit. And yes, things that seem totally impossible, yet God can do them. And praise the Lord for that. And then Peter did mention, he said unto Jesus, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And then the point here in verse 29, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first." All the benefits of following Jesus Christ. And yes, we don't know what he's going to ask us in taking up our cross and following him. But you know what? He's not going to ask us to do something that's impossible. And I've always thought, you know, if he's asked me to do something, then I'm going to be able to do it. He's going to give me the strength and the ability to do it, even though it might seem crazy on the outside surface. But yet, with God, the things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But, you know, it was somewhat difficult for those that followed Jesus and those that heard him when he ministered here on earth to realize that the kingdom that he was talking about was a spiritual kingdom. And, you know, back again in Matthew 10, when, you know, he called forth the 12, and now he was going to send them out to go out to gather the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He told them to go out and preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so Jesus Christ came to bring forth the kingdom of God. And this is what it was all about. He told them to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. "Freely ye have received, freely give." Oh my, that's what it's all about. It's going out there, ministering to people, bringing the gospel, the good news. Oh yes, laying hands on the sick and believing that they shall recover. Cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils. Oh, praise the Lord. He said, freely ye have received, freely give. And, oh, he was going to provide everything that they needed to do the Lord's work, saying, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Oh, praise the Lord who goes before us and provides exactly what we have need of. But they were to go forth and begin to present the kingdom of God. And Jesus had said, if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, then indeed the kingdom of God has come. That was an indication when he cast out devils. And that was one of the very first miracles that he did, to cast out devils. Oh, it indicated that the kingdom of God had come. But people didn't often grasp that fact that the kingdom that he was talking about was a spiritual kingdom. We just look at Luke 17 here for a moment. It says in Luke 17 and verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Now, usually, you know, if you know, there was another, you know, king that was going to take over a kingdom, you know, you would see it. It would be observable. You know, he would come with an army and with his troops and, you know, with officials and all kinds of orderlies of various natures. You could observe it. But the kingdom of God that Jesus was bringing forth was one that you wouldn't see, that you wouldn't be visible to the eyes in that way at all. And he explained in verse 21, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And that was, you know, a very big point, but, you know, it wasn't easy for them to understand it. And even so, today, we still have people that are looking for a millennium. You know, 1,000 years of peace. You know, a kingdom here on earth, you know, under that kind of order. But that's not what Jesus came to bring out. That's not what he came to bring forth. And of course, we know that Jesus, when he stood before Pilate, he told Pilate, saying, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then would my disciples fight? My men, they would fight. My servants would fight if my kingdom was of this world. That he would not be delivered to the Jews. But no, my kingdom is not from hence. You know, that was, you know, what he was all about, bringing forth a spiritual kingdom. And of course, we know that was a point that he tried to bring forth even from the beginning. If we look at the very first chapter of John, just a very few verses here in chapter 1 of John. Looking at verse 9 here, John, the first chapter. It says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Of course, speaking of Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And what irony. Here was the creator of the universe, oh, who had such mercy and compassion on the people, that he put on flesh to come to this world to seek and to save those that were lost. And it tells us in verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But I thank God, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, the children of God, the family of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then it explains in the 13th verse here of chapter 1 of John, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Praise the Lord, you know. So he's talking about a people that would be born again, a second time, only this time a spiritual birth that would come forth, not by the will of the flesh, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. And praise the Lord for that. Of course, when he was talking to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, that was another time that he emphasized the need to be born again. Oh, yes, he said there in John 3 to Nicodemus, that ruler of the Jews who came to him by night, knowing that he was a teacher come from God. You know, God was talking to Nicodemus. He wasn't, you know, quite as, you know, stubborn and rebellious and blind as the others. So he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And I know Jesus' reply to him must have just been very startling. For Jesus said in verse 3 here in John 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And of course, we see the puzzle there to Nicodemus when he said in verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus is going to bear down on the point again. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Oh, praise the Lord. No, there was a second birth that Jesus came to bring forth. Oh, yes, it would come forth on the day of Pentecost when he would send forth his Spirit. But praise the Lord, he was making a way so that you and I could approach a living God. Oh, yes, so that we could become joint heirs with Christ. We could be born again into the kingdom of God, into his family. Oh, yes, as his sons and his daughters. And he said in verse 8 here in John 3, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. That sound that comes forth when we're born of the Spirit. Oh, yes, as the Spirit of God begins to talk through us. Oh, as he takes an unruly member, that old tongue, that old mouth of ours that gets us into so much trouble, he begins to speak through us and we come forth in another tongue as the Spirit of the Lord gives us utterance. Just as it happened on the day of Pentecost. Oh, yes, there was a sound that came forth. And oh, yes, they also had the sound of the rushing mighty wind that came into the place where they were assembled. Oh, yes, they couldn't see where it was coming from, but they could hear the sound of it. And so it is when we are born again of the Spirit of the living God. There is a sound that comes forth. Oh, yes, to declare that we have been brought into the family of God. Oh, praise God for the wonderful new birth that he has brought, he has bestowed for his children. Praise the Lord. Going for a minute here to Galatians, the 4th chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I was here a little bit last week, but oh, we've got more ground to cover here. It tells us in Galatians, the 4th chapter, as Paul is explaining in verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. This is before we were born again, before Jesus came into the scene to set us free from the bondage of the law. But it explains so beautifully in the fourth verse here in Galatians 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Oh, praise the Lord, what a plan that, oh yes, he would take us and adopt us into his family as his sons and daughters. And then verse 6 here in Galatians 4, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, that endearing term, Abba, Daddy, Daddy. You know, he becomes our personal Savior, you know. Oh, so close that we can communicate with him. We can talk to him. Oh, there are times we can feel his presence. We can know that he is with us. He gives us that Spirit of adoption so that, oh, yes, we can be his sons and daughters. But it comes forth as the Spirit of God comes into our lives to convert us, to change us. Oh yes, that Spirit of adoption as we speak forth in that new tongue as he comes in, Abba Father. And then it says in verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then heir of God through Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. You know what plans God has for his people. You know, first of all, to take us as we are. You know, so out there, you know, doing our own things. You know, in so much trouble and oh, so ignorant. But he takes us and he begins to work in us. And he begins to reform us. He begins to transform us, begins to change us in every way that he can to make us his own. Oh, yes, and bringing forth the Spirit of his Son. Oh, yes, so that we might be led by the Spirit of God and know his voice and, oh, yes, know his will and go forth and do it. And not only that, no longer are we a servant, but a son. And if we are a son, then we are also an heir of Christ. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful thing. Oh, yes. Let's also go to 8th chapter of Romans to just cement all of this. Romans 8. And, of course, this is an amazing, amazing chapter. It explains in verse 1 here, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free, or he says, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And it explains in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For the carnal, because, in verse 7, because the carnal man is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So here we see, you know, there's a great need to be born again. Because, you know, he declared in the first chapter of John, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And here we're reading in this eighth chapter of Romans, you know, there's no way this, you know, this carnal side of man, this fleshy side of man is not going to inherit eternal life. You know, we just, it's enmity against God, or at least we're going to read that. It says in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You know, there's two different worlds. And, you know, they're contrary the one to the other. And it says very clearly here, so they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, you're not going to make it to heaven in the flesh. That need for conversion is obvious and, you know, very, very needful. So then it says in verse 9, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The sensuality here to have the Spirit of Christ, to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. The fleshly desires, the old man, it is dead in us when we truly have surrendered our life to the Lord, when we truly are converted. That body is dead because of sin. And praise the Lord. The Lord made a way that we could come to Him. All those old sin, we know sin isn't going to enter into heaven. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was such a hopeless situation. But Jesus Christ came into the scene, oh yes, to redeem us, to save us, oh, have mercy on us. Oh, praise the Lord, so that we could be forgiven our sin, so that it could be taken from us. And praise the Lord, we have that great privilege of coming to Him. Oh, yes, in repentance. Oh, yes, in turning our life over to the Lord Jesus, to give Him all those sins and everything else that we did in our past, realizing our great need for salvation. Oh, turning it all over to Him. Praise the Lord, He made a way. We can come to Him. Yes, and He has mercy. He has grace for us, and we can come to Him. Praise the Lord, He made a way so that we could go down into the waters of baptism for the remission of our sins. And you know, it tells us in Galatians, the third chapter, that as many of us has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Oh, what a thing. It says there's neither Greek nor Jew. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. Oh, praise the Lord, what He does. Oh, when we truly come to Him and He makes such a way. Oh, yes, that wonderful privilege of going down into the waters of baptism. Oh, yes, to be buried with Christ and into Christ. Oh, yes, what a difference it makes. Those sins are remitted in those waters of baptism. Oh, don't let anybody tell you that baptism is just, you know, a possible thing, you know, that it's not a necessary thing, you know, you can do it if you want to. But oh, we are commanded to be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. But praise the Lord. It says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Praise the Lord. Yes, when we are baptized in the name of Jesus, that promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost is put upon us. Oh, yes, so that we can receive of that spirit of the living God. Praise the Lord. I know there's times when people have come up out of that water speaking in other tongues. Yes, amen. But that promise is there, and one that we can grasp, that we can realize, that we can cling to, that we can believe in. And it explains in verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." Oh, the Spirit of Jesus, that ghost that He gave up so that He could come unto us, that is also the resurrecting power. Oh, that power that will raise, quicken our mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in us. And it explains in verse 12, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Okay, who are the sons of God? Oh, it's those that God has called. Oh, those He has chosen. Oh, yes, those that come to Him in repentance, turning their lives over to the Lord, being baptized in His name, being filled with the Holy Ghost. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And it explains in verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." Oh, yes, those foolish Galatians who wanted to go back to the ways of the law. Paul didn't know what in the world. He didn't know what had gotten into their minds to want to go back to that which, oh, yes, they had been delivered from. But again, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Here it is again. Daddy, Daddy, He becomes our Father, our Heavenly Father, and that spirit of adoption. Oh, yes, He brings us forth into His heavenly kingdom. Oh, yes, that kingdom that doesn't come with observation. Oh, that kingdom that is within, that point that He was making there in the 17th chapter of the book of Luke. But praise the Lord, yes, we cry, Abba, Father, and the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, that Spirit of the living God that He puts within us. Oh, that down payment, oh yes, that He puts within us. For one day He's going to come back for His children, for those that He has bought, for His purchases. Oh, that purchase price that He redeemed at Calvary. He's going to come back, those children that He has adopted. Oh yes, so that Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also glorify together. That we may be also glorified together. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, wonderful it is to think that such as we are, He would have such mercy. Oh, yes. I mean... we're talking about a kingdom that is greater than anything we could imagine. We're talking about the King of Kings, the Mighty One. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, who created this world, this universe. Oh, who knows every detail. Oh, who knows the thoughts and whims of mankind. Oh, yes, there's nothing too hard for Him. There's nothing impossible for Him. He's the mighty God. And yet, He has transformed us. He has brought us into His kingdom that we might be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, participants in His kingdom. And oh yes, those lively stones that he brings forth. And I thank God, you know, we don't have to just have textbook knowledge, so to speak. Oh yes, but we can have the full realization. Oh, we can be participants in his kingdom. You know, we're just not observing everybody else, are we? I hope not, you know. We want to be his people. Oh, we want to be heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ, and praise the Lord, participants experiencing the reality of his kingdom for our very selves. Oh, yes. Oh, what a wonderful privilege we have in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Just turning here for a moment to Ephesians, the third chapter. Just catching a few verses here, looking at the 11th verse here in Ephesians 3. It says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. And verse 14, notice, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 15 says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Oh, we take on that name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole family in heaven is named after Jesus Christ. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it talks about how his name is in our foreheads. You know, all that happens when we're born again of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, yeah, when he sends forth that Spirit of adoption into our hearts, that we can be participants in his kingdom. But we are named, oh, after our Lord and Savior, the whole family of God, the whole family in heaven and earth is named after the name of Jesus Christ. And praise the Lord. Do you think it's important to take his name on in those waters of baptism? I would say so. Yes, because that represents our being buried into Christ or putting on Christ. And oh yes, we want to identify with him. That name needs to be presented there in those waters of baptism. Not just titles. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, those are titles. But praise the Lord, there is a name that is above every name. There is a name that all are going to bow to. Oh, there is a name that all are going to acknowledge. Oh yes, on that day when he comes back for his purchase price, his redemption, his people, when he comes back. Oh yes. And also that time of his judgment. But all are going to acknowledge him at that moment. All are going to bow the knee and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh yes, indeed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then as we continue in this study, let's look at 1 Corinthians 12th chapter. This body of Jesus Christ that we've been talking about consists of many members. And here it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as it's talking of spiritual gifts, that all are manifestations of the gift of the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto those, or these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Well, there is a revelation, yes, that comes to our heart, that we understand that Jesus is indeed the Lord. It comes by the Holy Ghost. And then it explains, verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus brought forth his Spirit. Oh yes, he had told them, he wasn't going to be with them forever, but he was going to send it back, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and he was going to be in them. So praise the Lord, he sent it back. And in this Holy Ghost that he sent forth has different modes of operation, different diversities of operation, but yet it is the same Spirit. It's the same God that worketh all in all. It says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That manifestation that comes forth when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues, it comes forth, and then with it, there are gifts that he gives out as we yield to him and as we need these gifts. It says he gives these gifts severally as they are needed, paraphrasing here. But we'll read it also. It explains in verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and that selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. So the Holy Ghost in us, it brings forth these gifts. It says severally as he will. In other words, as they're needed, he gives them to us. If we need a word of knowledge, that Holy Ghost gives us a word of knowledge. If we need faith, he gives us faith. The gifts of healing, whatever all is needed, the working of miracles, that gift of prophesying or discerning of spirits, it's all, as it's needed. And then it talks about another diverse kinds of tongues. And praise the Lord, we need to see more of this. Oh yes, I love it. When the Spirit speaks forth a message in tongues in the church. And by the grace of God, there is another that has the gift of interpretation, so that what is brought forth in that unknown tongue can be interpreted, so it could be understood. And praise the Lord, these are gifts that should be in operation in the church of the living God. And he said, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And then it talks about how the body is one. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. He puts his Spirit in all his people so we can be all members of that one body. And verse 13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And there's the water baptism and there's the Spirit baptism. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So he puts us all here together so that we can sit in heavenly places with Christ, as all participants in the body of Christ. And he's explaining this, for the body is not one member, but many. And he's explaining it hear it by saying in verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If we were just all foot, oh my, I think we'd be pretty missing, wouldn't we? If we just had ears, wouldn't we be pretty missing, But here he's talking about the body of Christ and all the members in particular, all working together, all having a special function to complete the body of Christ. It says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? See, if just one element was there, then a whole bunch would be missing. But now, in verse 18, hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. He puts us together. I said in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but we've all got our part. We've all got our function. And, when one person is down, when one person is missing, it's noticeable. And it says, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And I know, if we stub our toe, a toe might be just, a little part of us, but I think our whole body realizes we've stubbed our toe, and it hurts, it's felt. But here is talking spiritually, as, God puts his people together to all do their role, to all do their part in the body of Christ. And in verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. He doesn't want division. He doesn't want splits in the body of Christ. If we're all striving for the same goal and purpose, then our minds should all be set on the heavenly things. It's carnality that gets into the church that, causes church splits and division and schisms in the body of Christ. That's carnality. But if we're spiritually minded, we could go past those things and look beyond all of that and learn how to recognize one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Oh, that is the way that God hath put it together. And he says in verse 28, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, the gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. But praise the Lord, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit that he gives to the church of the living God so that we all can participate in the way that God has ordained, with the gifts that he has given us in particular. And, we may not all have the same gifts, but we're all baptized into Christ. Oh, we're all baptized with the Holy Ghost. And then, he gives us severally as he will, as The need is there. He knows how to give it to us. And you know, it's a beautiful thing when everything is working right. You know, when the body of Christ is complete and you have all the members together and there is no division, no schism, that carnality is gone. And praise the Lord. By His grace and mercy, yes, we have all these functions that He put together. So, yes, some of us may be apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some workers of miracles. Some have gifts of healing, and some have that ability to bring forth a message in tongues with the hope that there would also be somebody there that would interpret it. And, you know, we need to covet earnestly the best gifts, the ones that are appropriate for the moment, where there's a need. And, you know, all these gifts can be very needful at certain times. You know, sometimes I think, you know, some of the problems we have is because the gifts of the Spirit aren't in operation as they need to be. Some of the answers that we seek, perhaps, you know, God would bring forth a message in tongues, with a message, with answer, with, you know, the exact thing that is needful, or, you know, through prophecy, or however, all. God knows how to do it, but He wants us to be stirred, to, you know, have that spiritual mindset, and, you know, all doing our part in the kingdom of God. For as we see in this chapter, every member is essential. Every member has a role. We're all members of the one body of Christ. But we all have our own individual function and need. Oh, praise the Lord. So as we continue this study, just a few more places here where we also need to consider who should we receive as a brother. And here I'm going to go to 2 John and read a little bit here from the 5th chapter of the 2nd Epistle of John. Let's look at verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Oh, that simplicity. And that's all part of being in the body of Christ. You know, that's emphasized again and again in the epistles, that need to love one another. And this is love, verse 6. That we walk after His commandments. And you know, when He gives us the Holy Ghost, He puts His laws in our inward being so that we can know them in our heart. This is a commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. What Jesus had said Himself in John, the 8th chapter, verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. That's just the bottom line. You know, there's that great need to believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And if one would come and confess not that Jesus Christ had not come in the flesh, it says the same is a deceiver and an antichrist. And I'll tell you what, you know, you can't put people in the kingdom of God if they're not born again, if they've not confessed that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. I know there are those in the world that we live in right now who want to say, you know, that there's a certain race of people that can go to heaven without Jesus. Well, I tell you what, that's not what the Word of God declares at all. Oh, whether we be Jewish or whether we be Gentile, it's absolutely essential that we realize that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Otherwise, that individual is a deceiver and an antichrist. So it says in verse 8, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And oh, we never want to go backwards. We never want to look back. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. And you know, you have the ETH on transgress and abide. So that means continue here. But whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Just clear and simple here. But on the other hand, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Tells us in verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. So having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, the point here is he's telling them, if there are some that have rejected Jesus that want to come and, you know, into your dwelling, he's saying not to receive them. And I would say you could take that further to say into the body of Christ. You know, we have somebody sinning among us and they refuse to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is the Savior, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, then we are not to receive him. And it says, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And we've got to be careful here. You know, we don't go to that extreme. But also now, let's look at 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And here, we're going to look at verse 9 here. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. So he's saying here, sometimes we do have to, have some dealings with people that would possibly be sinners, so to speak, fornicators or covetous or extortioners, and of course way beyond this list. But, we'd have to go out of the world if we were to avoid them completely. But then he's making another point here in verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? There are things that God will not tolerate in his church. And in Paul is making this point here to the church at Corinth that, if there's a man, somebody that's called a brother, or certainly a woman that's called a sister, if they, they're still living in sin, in other words, and they have not repented and they know better. I mean, mistakes will happen, but, we aren't to go to that person, if we see them in sin and make it known so that they can repent of it and get right. But, he's telling us here, if there's somebody in your midst that's called a brother and he's a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer, a railer is one who is characterized by bitter, raunchy talk, just abusive language, all that sort of thing, or a drunkard, all these things, or an extortioner is somebody that extracts things that are not theirs, by means of threats or by force to take money or whatever else that is not theirs by means of extortion. But anyway, this is just, I'm sure, an incomplete list. But Paul is saying that, you know, there's no way, you know, that you could consider such a person a brother or sister in the Lord. And I'm sure that goes for other sins that, you know, would be without the body of Christ, you know. But things that are not to be tolerated as a brother or sister in the Lord. But thank the Lord, you know, God has made a way that we could come to Him. You know, we all have our backgrounds, and we all know that the past is the past. You cannot do anything at all to change the past. But praise the Lord, we can come to Jesus Christ, and oh, how He makes a difference in our life. Just as I get ready to close here, let's look at 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Verse 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Just plain and simple here. But I love verse 11. Oh, such hope this verse gives us. It says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Oh, praise the Lord. I love how He takes us. Oh, yes, as we come to Him, yes, such as we are. But praise the Lord, He washes us in His blood to take care of those sins, to forgive us of those sins. Oh, He sanctifies us by His Spirit, the Holy Ghost that He gives unto us. And we're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would say that is the waters of baptism, we are made just there in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, praise the Lord. No, He made it clear that sin isn't going to enter into heaven. For the wages of sin is death. But praise the Lord, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, yes, the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But praise the Lord, He made a way that we could be washed, that we could be sanctified, that we could be justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, praise the Lord, that we could be joint heirs with Christ, that we could be members in particular in the body of Christ. Oh, I thank God, what a price He paid that we might sit here together. Oh, yes, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, as, oh, many members of the one body of Christ. Oh, yes, to do the work that He has ordained. Oh, yes, to make the body of Christ complete. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank God. Oh, what a wonderful thing that He would call us and choose us and put us into His own kingdom. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Who is my brother? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we are going to open our hymnals to number 194 and sing, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" Number 194. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright? And be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Aside the garments that are stained with sin, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.